Knockout.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime Eric Young.
This is your favorite knockout, Tara.
This is WWE superstar, The Miz.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on The Rock with God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best News Show, The Rock.
People are sheep, you understand me? They can't lead themselves, they need to be led. People buy and sell fear. I created war. And I think it's time for the masses to wake up.
Wake up and look at this line they're living in, man!
The world is deteriorating between their toes, and they do nothing about it. They only stand there, they whisper and wonder, but they never do anything about it. But I've seen it all in my dreams and in my thoughts. And above everything else, I understand.
This is not the beginning. Stand.
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE.
Aw, Puddin'. You know, you've always been pretty, but you've never been the smart one in this relationship.
And TNA.
Look at these bookmarks they found.
My gosh, can two human beings even do that? Hey, but you know, my secretary borrows this all the time. She may have put some of that on there.
Yeah, look at, as a lawyer, you gotta be careful with this kind of stuff. Look at, we're buddies, right?
Well, yeah, you and my brother are best friends.
I'm worried about you. I'm pretty much a scientist now. I'm gonna help you with this. We're gonna get to the bottom of it.
How? What?
I'm gonna borrow your pad. I'm gonna check out the rest of these.
Borrow the pads?
Your flavor, man. I know.
Wait a minute.
The bottom of it.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
If you smell la 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 la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Welcome to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com. We have a lot of stuff to get into tonight, and we're not going to mince any words because we have a special treat for everyone. That's right, joining us all the way from Toronto, Canada, he's a former WWE Tag Team Champion, a former Intercontinental Champion, a former United States Champion, and yes, he's even been Miss WrestleMania. We are joined by the one and only Santino Marella.
Thank you so much. How are you guys
doing there? Oh, we're doing wonderful. We are so happy to have you on today to be able to talk to you about your wonderful new venture in the Battle Arts Academy.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it's great. I'm actually here right now. We are operational and a lot of back-end paperwork to take care of, but, you know, the fun is out at the gym. I actually don't have a chance to train that much here as much as I wanted to, but I will as soon as we, you know, catch up on the back end stuff that has to happen.
Absolutely. So can you kind of tell us a little bit about the Academy, sort of what it's about and what you all offer and what you guys do?
Yeah, well, it's funny. It's a hybrid place. And what I mean by that is it's multiple facilities all kind of under one roof. We have a full MMA training center. We have striking and grappling every day at both the recreational levels, the competitive levels. We have professional wrestling. We have strength and conditioning programs. You know, we have a nice smoothie bar and a retail thing in the front. And we have nutritionists and personal trainers and everything, really. Sorry. And, with kids classes, after school programs, it's awesome.
It sounds absolutely awesome. And I'm really kind of curious because you mentioned at the start of the call that, you know, you've got a lot of stuff going on and you haven't been able to train much. Are you having a difficult time sort of balancing your WWE schedule with your training schedule as it's gotten started, or have you sort of figured out a way to balance that out?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a little bit delayed. The construction was delayed, so I wanted to open in July so I could iron out all the bugs before I went back on the road with the WWE. But, you know, everything takes a little longer than it's supposed to, so just as I was scheduled to go back on the road is when we kind of opened. So when I'm home for a couple of days, I'm trying to catch up and just, you know, implement our policies and procedures and make sure everybody's following the procedures put in place. So that's the kind of stuff. I mean, I'm in touch when I'm on the road with everybody here, making sure everything's running smooth and people are happy. And One thing we did is we got awesome trainers, so I know that the quality of our coaching and training is going to be top notch. We have Mr. Ishikawa from Japan who came here just to be an instructor here. He's amazing. So I know everyone that does one of his classes is ecstatic. We have an awesome women's kickboxing instructor named Michelle Laos, who's like competed for 13 years and police officer, mother of four, fitness model. She's amazing.
Wow.
And we didn't just get a kettlebell instructor. We have Tony Wallace, who's called the King of Kettlebells. He's like the authority in Canada. And I mean, everybody we have here is just top notch. And the facility is absolutely beautiful. It came out it's brand new. It's well thought out and designed and laid out, and very little wasted space. And it's bright and open. And the reviews people give when they come in, it's, you know, they love it. So we're happy.
That's absolutely wonderful here, and I'm just kind of curious, what are some of your goals with the Academy? Are you trying to make it one of the top-notch places in Canada?
We have a lot of goals. That's one of our things here. We want to produce top fighters, but we also want to have an awesome kids program, and what's equally important to us is just the recreational level fitness. We want people to come here and get in the best shape of their lives and be the most confident they've ever been. We want our high school level athletes to improve their performance with, you know, Olympic weightlifting and boot camp and strength and conditioning. We're doing a reality show here. We want people to break that barrier and have their first ever amateur fight and step in the octagon and prepare for it. It's a lot of mental and spiritual training here. And what I mean by that is the fighting spirit has to be trained. When you reach your limit and you reach your plateau, to dig deep and break that plateau, and that is what it's all about. That's when you go home, you're like, man, I did something today I couldn't do before. And you've just improved right in front of your own eyes. And that's when you realize, man, anything's possible with super hard work and really good mentors and stuff like that. And we do. We have world champions and national champions and from all various, you know, martial arts and wrestling and, you know, just giving all this incredible knowledge to all the fortunate community. I always say, I wish I had this place here when I was growing up, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. And you mentioned a reality show. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, the reality show is about MMA. It's going to be young fighters that really want to, you know, have their first ever. We're going to break that barrier in terms of fear and get into the octagon and have their first ever amateur fight.
Oh my goodness.
So it may be somebody that had some karate as a kid or some wrestling or something, but they want to tie it all together and have an actual MMA fight. So we're going to go around to some of the other dojos in the greater Toronto area and, you know, find opponents and make this final, you know, season finale card and document the training and the obstacles and, you know, whether they be mental or physical and, you know, ultimately show this fight.
That's amazing. So would it follow the training process as well, or would it just
Yeah, and the way we're going to do it, it's awesome. It's going to be web-based, so when you're watching the show, and let's say, for example, Mr. Ishikawa is showing one of his submissions, we'll have something where, for, you know, everybody can watch the show, but for a small fee, the premium price, you can click here for further detail of this actual submission, or for, you know, click here for further breakdown of this Olympic weightlifting technique, that kind of thing, and people can actually learn a lot as well as be entertained.
That sounds really awesome, and it would be available on the BattleArtsAcademy.com site, or is it going to be somewhere else?
That's a good question. Actually, I have to talk to my partner. He's the movie director, the famous Mr. Stephen J. Wong. You know, he'll be taking care of that. He'll probably have a link to it from our site, I imagine, from BattleArtsAcademy.com, but. I can't confirm that.
Okay. Well, we'll just have to keep an eye out for it because it sounds absolutely awesome. So
I'm
kind of curious because if you don't mind, I'd like to transition a little bit into wrestling. And I'd actually like to know, how did you come about with the Cobra?
The Cobra? Oh, wow. When I attended the original Battle Arts in Japan in 2004, one of the partners there, we were having some dinner and some beverages after one of our shows, and he just said, hey, watch this, and he did this thing and made his arm into a snake, and, you know, years later, I kind of forgot about it, and then years later, it just popped into my head before one match, and I just tried it out, and it was boring, you know, the crowd liked it immediately, and There's the Cobra.
There's the Cobra. One of our fans is kind of curious to know if you've run the Cobra through the Battle Arts training or if you've you're waiting on that.
Well, I use our heavy Muay Thai bags here at Battle Arts when I train the Cobra striking.
That's awesome. So you mentioned Stephen J. Wong, who is a filmmaker, and he's also your partner. I'm kind of curious to know how that relationship got started.
Well, there's a magazine. It's Canada's largest fitness magazine called Inside Fitness, and it was Terry Friendo, the publisher, and he's a mutual friend of ours, and I kind of talked about, you know, wanting to do something here, and in terms of the MMA and pro wrestling side, and Stephen J. Wong wanted to do a strength and conditioning facility somewhere else. And we met, you know, and, you know, we got along, we hit it off, and our energy levels are very similar. And I thought, you know what, why not combine the offerings and actually offer one mega facility? Because a lot of people have to go to two different gyms to get their strength and conditioning of their MMA. Very, very rarely do I see anything together outside of the Olympic Training Center or something like that. So we thought, man, we'll give people an option. You know, they can do, you know, MMA Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and strength and conditioning Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, or something like that. And they can basically pick and choose from all these wonderful courses for one price that's lower than what somebody would have been paying if they went to just one of those gyms. Like, for example, a local MMA gym might be, you know, $130 to $150 in Toronto per month.
Wow.
And then a strength and conditioning or CrossFit type gym, again, $130, $150, somewhere in there. So that's like almost $300 in membership. So here you're getting that for $99 a month and a state-of-the-art facility and master instructors. So we're really proud of the value we're giving to our customers here.
That's amazing. It sounds like an amazing deal. I wish I lived up in Toronto, or I wish I lived closer to it to take advantage of it, because it sounds just completely awesome.
Well, you can come down for a free workout, that's for sure.
I will take advantage of that if I'm ever in the area. Definitely. And I'll tell my friends in Canada. And I'm kind of curious.
How far are you?
Oh, I'm in Utah.
Oh, Utah. All right.
But I have friends in Canada, so I may have to come visit.
Yeah, it's a small world these days.
It completely is. So I'm curious, because you have the academy up in the Ontario area, sorry, and you made your return this past week or the week before in Toronto for WWE. What was that like? And
yes,
to kind of have their support behind you for this.
Yeah, it was awesome, actually. Our grand opening was the night before my return, so it was a really cool weekend. I mean, I had the grand opening party on the Sunday, returned to WWE on the Monday, SmackDown on the Tuesday. So it was a cool weekend.
It sounds cool. I mean, you got a tremendous ovation, too. I know we were all excited to see you, so that it felt like it was awesome.
Yeah, the energy was awesome, man. When my music hit and people just erupted, I was like, yes, this is a very special moment for me in my career and stuff like that. You know, it's up there with one of the, you know, definitely top five coolest moments in my career for sure.
Awesome. Do you have any goals now that you've returned, or are you just sort of just balancing everything?
Yeah.
Right now?
Yeah. No, I want to be, I want to go for the big one this time. World Heavyweight Champion, you know.
Well, we're definitely behind you for it. Do you have any thoughts on the current World Heavyweight Champion?
Alberto Del Rio?
Yes.
Yeah, no, he's a world-class champion, actually. I can't take anything away from him. he is. He's a, you know, a lot of respect for him, actually. So I wouldn't trash talk him by any means. But, you know, there's only one guy at the top, and I don't care if it's even for a short time, but I just want to be the king of the mountain for a while, you know?
Absolutely, and we're 100% behind you there. And also,
oh, thank you.
Yeah, we actually, this is going to sound really dorky, probably to you, but we actually created the hashtag Santino for Champ on Twitter.
Oh, wow.
We were behind you that much. But, and I guess speaking of passionate fans, I'm curious to know, what's your favorite town to work in?
What's my what, sorry?
What is your most favorite town to work in? I mean, is it your hometown, or do you have another place that you'd like, better?
No, I like everywhere. I love Europe, South America, Mexico, all over the, you know, Texas is always awesome. You know, New York is New Jersey, Philly. That's the kind of little crazy. California, I like. Idaho, you know, Utah. You'd be surprised. I love everywhere. The South is loud, you know. Knoxville, and I'm going to Lexington tomorrow, and Indiana, and you know, the fans are awesome everywhere, to be honest.
Oh, that's good to hear. It's nice to know that you don't necessarily have any one place in particular. You like us all, so that's very cool. And also, this is kind of an odd question, but it's, what's the weirdest thing a fan has done for you?
Well, one fan, she actually made her phone case cover, like my face or something. I thought that was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I've been given some gifts and some, just people want to buy my old boots or something. And just some strange things happening.
Yeah, I can totally understand that. And just to kind of transition back to the school a little bit, what has it felt like to you to be able to achieve this dream of yours to open the school? Because I know this is something you've been working towards for quite some time. So, you know, that
it's taken a while. We started, a year straight of nonstop, work every single day. Long, long days, long hours. You can't stop, you know, it's up to you to get it done. So, but we're still growing into it. We have a lot of things, like our pro wrestling ring is not completely assembled. We don't have the floor in yet, and we can't put the flooring in until we have a special permit from the city, but due to the fire safety people and stuff like that. So, right. You know, our smoothie bar is not 100% up and running, stuff like that. We got a lot of stuff to grow into.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, totally. And it's a wonderful example of what hard work and dreams can achieve just through what you've been able to do in opening this. And it's so inspiring to everybody who wants to attend it or everybody who does attend to be able to use the facility and for the betterment of everybody, really. I think it's kind of awesome that you've done this.
Well, thank you.
And I have one final question for you.
Okay.
I mentioned Twitter. We follow you on Twitter. And I'm curious, did you ever figure out what was chasing you on Friday the 13th?
Oh, no, they actually weren't. They turned off. I saw there was lights behind me, and they were coming down this corn dark road. And I swear, it was so scary. And then they just turned away, I think. Or they turned the lights off, I don't know. But nobody got me.
Oh. It's a very good thing to hear. We were a little worried about you. We were worried maybe the Wyatts were chasing you or something. We'll let you get back to work, but thank you so much for the interview. Greatly.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
You're listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be right back.
I've been feeling real good. Came a long way from misunderstood. Far away from the days where I wouldn't want to go home, because I was afraid of the truth. See, I was scared to admit the feeling was in the back of my head. Cause the point where I no longer worry, so you have to stand up for how you want to live.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply thebomb.com.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWmania.com. Again, the web address is PWmania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is pwmania.com.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns,
after 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moment. And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I, once electrocuted the man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels, letting you know that you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
A country!
I'm a rockin' Southern girl, running wild and free.
Hey, y'all, walking through the door.
High-class style, country to the core.
WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, Mem Lane promo for all your memorabilia needs. I hope everybody enjoyed Santino. We had such a blast interviewing him. Thank you so much to him again for coming and talking with us today, because that was great.
Yes, it was. Make sure to check out BattleArtsAcademy.com for all information about his new academy. He opened up a couple weeks ago in Mississauga.
Mississauga, Ontario, Canada. Yes. And from just the pictures online, it looks absolutely phenomenal. And I'm actually really curious about the reality show he told us about. So I'm looking forward to seeing if they can get that online and how they're going to do it and all that fun stuff. So best of luck to him with that. And best of luck to him for his ambition for capturing the World Heavyweight Championship.
We might have to restart up that hashtag Santino for Champ.
Yeah, hashtag Santino for Champ, starting it here tonight. Although, by the way, for at least the next 5 to 10 minutes, the producer may or may not have a happy.
Go with it. Move on.
Just pointing that out. Yay, football. For those of you keeping up, the score is 26-16, Kansas City on top with 2:20 left in the fourth quarter. And, ooh, red is not Andy Reid's color.
No, it's not.
Anyway, Welcome to the show officially. We're going to get into everything because, as I said at the start, we have a lot to get into tonight. We're going to be talking Impact and all the exciting things that happened there. We're going to be talking Night of Champions. And, of course, we've got all the news and notes brought to you by our friends over at pwmania.com. But before we get into all that, we should kind of maybe tell them our question of the night.
Yeah, you should inform them what is the question of the evening.
If you could have Bray Wyatt read you a bedtime story, what bedtime story would you have him read you?
We got some interesting ones to lay upon you, and we have some choices of our own, but we'll get to that at the end of the evening, Lindsay.
We will. We totally will, but now we need to get into the news. And, well, since we came back to Mickie James's new music, I guess we should start out with Mickie James. News. Anyway, Mickie James' contract has officially expired with TNA Wrestling. She is no longer with the company, and a new deal does not appear as if it's going to be reached anytime soon. So, fare thee well to Mickie.
Farewell to the Mickie. She rejected their latest offer a few days ago. And yeah, she is now a free agent, meaning she could sign with anyone, whether it be work for your favorite independent promotion. Hey, Tim Stein, you know, you can pony up some few pennies for Mickie James, come wrestle for Canadian All Pro Wrestling. You know, this Saturday, War, September 21st, at the Royal Canadian Legion, go to CanadianAllPro.com for details.
Yes, or, well, she may go back to WWE, or she may go and concentrate on her music career. It would seem better for her to go and handle her music, especially since it seems like she's touring a little bit and making appearances for that. So I'm sure she can't necessarily be a wrestler and have a music career at the same time. At least not full-time.
Not a full-time, no.
So, best of luck to her. Hopefully we get to see her soon. But other news coming out is, well, one Hulk Hogan's contract.
Oh, brother, brother, brother. His contract is coming up apparently on October 1st. And you know what that means. Speculation has begun. Where will he land? Will he be landing in WWE, or is this the end of the line for Hulk Hogan? Or is he going to re-sign with TNA? What's your call?
This is just me personally. I think Hogan's done everything he can do in TNA. There's nothing else they can really do with him. I mean, it doesn't make any sense other than for the minimal name value that Hogan adds to keep him in TNA.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, seeing as he's really one of the feature performers of WWE 2K14, which comes out at the end of October, it would seem to make sense for either WWE or for 2K to push to get Hogan really well around to help potentially shill the game.
That would make a lot of sense.
Especially since, you know, somebody else who has their own Phenom edition, well, we know how he does advertising. He does a twirl and he points.
Yes, he points and does a twirl. I mean, we thought about a cartwheel, but we don't exactly sure he could do one at this stage.
I think you'd probably get the wifey to do it for him.
Well, apparently she's looking good in training.
She is, but we'll get into that in a minute. But what are your thoughts on it?
As I said months ago, where I gave you all this long-range plan of how Damian Sandow will main event WrestleMania against Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 30, hashtag Rack exclusive, it's coming, you've been warned. Yeah, he should go back to WWE, he should be a part of the 30 years of WrestleMania.
Yeah, it would make sense for Hogan to go back with the 30th anniversary of WrestleMania, with WWE 2K14, and the fact that he's in the game, he's featured in the game. Yeah, it would make sense for him to go back. Plus, he's also apparently unhappy with TNA. He's not pleased with the way that they handled Brooke and her firing, so I have a funny feeling that, well, they're not going to have an easy time negotiating with Hogan.
He makes $30,000 per episode. No matter if he appears one time or 20 times, he makes $30,000 an episode, or show, rather. Because I guess, you know, whenever he appears at the show, it's two television shows. But yeah, he gets $30,000, and he's not going to go lower. And right now, when they are struggling for money, yeah, it's a bad move to, you know, bring him back. It'll be a big PR hit because he is the guy who opens up the doors for a lot of things for the company. But at this stage, it's all about the money. And the Hogan investment's probably not the smartest one right now.
No. So $30,000 is a lot of money, and that can go to a lot of other places right now.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, Vince McMahon can write him a much bigger check for a lot less work.
That WrestleMania payoff? Yeah. Hogan will be wanting one of those, at least one more, before his time in the ring is done. And he only has one match left in him, if he has any. And if he's going to do one, he should do it for the E, not the TNA. And that's just a sad state of reality.
Yeah, it is. So we'll keep on top of this. We'll let you know how it goes. But yes, Hulk Hogan may be on his way out. Mickey James is already gone. There is no update on Mr. Anderson. His contract is coming up. They recently wrote him off television last week with a beatdown. So I'm not sure if he's in negotiations still. But
and I believe he's still in negotiations with TNA. But going back to WWE for Mr. Anderson, well, a certain former WWE champion probably, if he had a say, probably wouldn't want him back.
Yes. Well, Anderson's less likely to go back than Hogan or anybody else. Another question mark is Sting, but then again, that's always the question with Sting. Is he going to re-sign for one more year, since they do a yearly contract versus multi-year? So, but as the contracts come and go, we will let you know how they all are handled, and that looks like a really nasty spill for Michael Vick. Oh dear. Hopefully he's okay. Anyway, moving on, speaking of WWE, we had 3 NXT wrestlers released this week.
Yeah, they've released 3 talents. One was, I believe, Jake Carter, which is Vader's son.
Yes.
The other two are slipping my mind at the moment, but yeah, I know one was Jake Carter and Vader's son, which many people were surprised that he was let go, but he was appearing on NXT for a while in 2012, but hasn't in 2013, I believe, and many saw the writing on the wall at that point for him.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate to hear anybody get fired, but if they're just holding down spots at this stage, they're not appearing, they're not doing anything, then, well, it doesn't make sense to keep them on the roster.
It doesn't help their development just sitting there.
No, it doesn't. So, we'll keep, you know, I feel bad, like I said, that they've lost their jobs, but, you know, it doesn't seem like a loss.
Not much of a loss, but they also signed former WWE ECW talent Sean Spears to a contract as of yesterday or today, I believe. So they're you know, as we mentioned when the facility opened, they hired a general manager, and his job is to, you know, bring in talent and not let talent just sit around. If they're not going to grow, they're going to be gone. And, well, we've seen them cut some talent recently, so, you know, it's a revolving door down in NXT.
It is. And, well, the point is for them to sort out who's good, who's bad, and to cut the fat before they make it up to the main roster.
Pretty much, that's the goal.
So, best of luck to them as they move on, and we'll wait to acknowledge this so you can let out your...
No, just move on, will ya?
Your cry of just despair.
Just move on, will you?
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
No, you're not. No, you're not. See, the thing is, she's not. She's excited. She's happy. She has glee on her face right now. You can't see it, I can't see it, but she is glee.
Andy Reid won his bucket back, just for everybody wondering. Speaking of sorry, thanks for the transition. Cox Cable Company did something interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Apparently...
Go ahead.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
No, just go ahead.
Apparently, they issued refunds to people that called in and complained about Night of Champions.
They, most specifically, they complained about the finish to Night of Champions being overturned the next night on Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, which... Okay, I want to rant on this for a minute.
Before you do, let me get the whole thing out there.
Okay.
Basically, the guy called up, and you know, they said they eventually gave it to him, and the representative told him that other people had asked for a refund for the same reason. Cops is a cable company, so the call representatives were told that indeed other people have already called and gotten refunds, feeling that by invalidating the finish of the show that they had just paid for, they deserved it. WWE responded, "While certain fans may have not liked the continuing storyline following Night of Champions, we're certain that the 3-hour pay-per-view we delivered all the entertainment and excitement expected from WWE. Now, you may go."
Now, can I rant?
Yes, you may.
Okay, number one, I'm not ranting at Cox. I'm just putting that out there straight up. What kind of idiot calls and demands a refund for pay-per-view that you paid for, you watched, you potentially enjoyed, you got to see the finish you wanted to see, only the next night to have it overturned, calls and asks for a refund? That's just stupid. Like, seriously, you're going to take your $50 back because WWE was like, "Oh yeah, you know, there was a fast count. We all saw it. It was the topic of social media the next day." Like, every time I went on Facebook, every time I went on Twitter, every time I went on Tumblr, "Oh, it was a fast count. It was a fast count." You know, so it was like, you knew something was up with the fast count on Sunday night. Everybody saw it.
Mm-hmm.
So really, you're going to be a jerk like that and call your cable company and be like, "Yeah, you know, I'm totally not happy with the pay-per-view I bought because they overturned the decision on the free show the next night."
Yeah. Some wrestling fans, you know, are passionate that way. They want their money back. They expect to see a title change and then they get it, you know.
They got a title change. They got the title change. Everybody got what they wanted on Night of Champions. Daniel Bryan won the WWE title clean off of Randy Orton. There was no interference, no shenanigans. He got his moments in the light.
Yeah,
And then they continued the story the next Monday night on Raw. It doesn't diminish what happened the night before.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope for cable companies to offer refunds like that, because they shouldn't. There's no reason to offer a refund.
Well, I'm not sure if they offered a refund or they got an exceptionally unintelligent customer service representative.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm not entirely sure how that one worked, but yeah, that to the people that did that, that's just jerkish. Just get over it. Seriously, just get over it.
Right, just get over it, and, you know, it happened. We'll talk about it later in the show.
We will?
Yeah, we're going to review the show.
Oh, that's right, we're going to review Night of Champions, I forgot.
It's like I'm here alone. I've prepped this show all by myself, it seems.
I'm in the stratosphere. I got to interview Santino Morello. What do you want from me?
More cookies?
I have cookies. I have Oreos. Or actually, I have Kroger brand of Oreos.
I have only one more good bakery cookie left. I was going to save it for a victory, but apparently it didn't happen.
Well, there was a victory for Andy Reid.
Oh my god, I'm gonna kill her one of these days. You know that, you know, she's enjoying this, by the way. Just pointing that one out. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, I didn't mention this before on Monday. How did that loss feel, Kane Kins in fantasy football? Oh yeah. I forgot about that one. Huh? Take that.
I have to get some satisfaction seeing as the Eagles and the Falcons are playing this year.
Yeah, I just had to turn it around and take a shot at King Kins, you know, that sort of thing. Hey, at least the Cowboys and the Eagles both lost to the same team.
You know. But it was Kansas City. I'm not sure that's entirely comforting.
They're a good team. Watch out. They're going to be a sleeper team this year. Hell, they've won more games than they did last year.
That's not saying much. Seeing as what, they won two?
Well, it's an improvement. They won three so far.
Yeah. Oh, and I can't wait for Dallas and Philly to play. That will be amazing. But anyway, I think our last story, and yes, this made the news because, well, this is what happens when Lindsay looks at the news sites on Monday, is, well, Duke the Dumpster Drossy is in a bit of a bind. Seems he was picked up on possession and with the intent to sell cocaine, and he is now currently sitting in the Gray Bar Hotel for it.
Oh, Duke, you went dumpster diving. Poor Duke.
Yes, poor Duke. So, hopefully he can get that straightened out. Hopefully he can continue to stay in the Gray Bar Hotel, and, well, if he does, best of luck, dude. That's all I gotta say.
Right, and because he's now listening, everybody go buy tickets for Canadian All-Pro Wrestling's event this Saturday at the Royal Canadian Legion No. 1. Call the number on CanadianAllPro.com for ticket information.
It's Johnny Devine in a cage in his cute little leather outfit.
No more cage. It's not a cage anymore.
Oh, they got rid of the cage?
They got rid of the cage. It's now, I don't know, some sort of Iron Man type gimmick, I believe. Hey, Tim, if this would be nice for you to actually tell me what the match is, as I seriously don't remember what it was. It was British Rules or something like that.
Was it like Duchess of Queensberry or whatever?
Okay, the Royal Canadian Legion is not allowing the steel cage, so that's why they've changed up the match stipulation, which is 10 three-minute rounds, most pinfalls win.
What?
Yeah, yeah. It's British rules, 10 three-minute rounds, most pinfall wins, to settle the score between Dungeon Master Johnny Devine and the crazy mofo himself, Kamikaze.
Well, go anyway. It will be Johnny in his cute little leather outfit.
Yeah, so get tickets now at CanadianAllPro.com. Yeah, I completely botched his plug, but guess what? There's your plug, Tim. There's your plug.
And click the Google Ads on the side of the site.
Apparently this match is something more appealing to Brits and Canadians than Americans.
I didn't realize there were that many Brits in Canada, but okay. And yes, King Kittens, you can totally call the phone number of Canadian All Pro 24/7.
I couldn't tell you the number, but if somebody would tell me the number so I don't have to look it up, I would promote it. But, you know, there are a ton of Brits in Canada.
We'll take your word for it, Kent. Tim.
Jolly ho to you. I don't...
Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
And apparently the brackets, that bracket quote things he's saying are stuff I shouldn't read. Oops, my bad. And I just read what was in the brackets again.
I'm so proud.
Hey, Tim, what's the phone number? I'll pimp it really quickly, you know.
Go to CanadianAllPro.com. The phone number's on the website.
587-894-7369. See Johnny Devine and Kamikaze Russell in a British Rules 10 three-minute rounds, most pinfalls win.
Yes, call that number for a good time and tickets to a wrestling show.
Because it's a war this Saturday night.
Yes. And speaking of wars, we should just get into Impact.
Yeah, let's just get into it.
Brought to you, of course, by our friends over at TNAsylum.com, the haven for TNA fans, because, yes, I just completely botched the flow of the show. So we'll just go right into it. Impact opens with words between Bobby Roode and Magnus, and this is followed up by Ego beating the crap out of Magnus, and the four men being separated by a horde of referees, backstage personnel, and Al Snow. Yes, we had a wild Al Snow sighting. It was genius.
Yeah, we had Simon Diamond and Al Snow backstage. It was kind of awesome.
It was kind of awesome. We then cut to the ring where Magnus is coming out. He says various parts of his body hurt and he can't eat. Why? Well, because he came so close to winning the Bound for Glory series, but he sadly failed. But Magnus isn't bitter about that, at least not about AJ winning. AJ's the best. He wishes him all the best because AJ deserves it. Magnus, though, has problems with ego, and he's bitter about the fact that they decided to insert themselves into the match, and also the fact that they decided to jump him in the back. Magnus says he doesn't have his family with him, and so he challenges any one man from Ego who has the stones to come out him and fight him one-on-one. Kaz answers the call, and a fight breaks out between the two. However, Kaz's number one BFF, Daniels, is quick to jump in and help. He gives the assist to Kaz, and then, well, Magnus gets the upper hand on both of them. But sadly, well, there's that number three guy, Mr. Bobby Roode. He comes out and he makes a save for Kaz and Daniels. All three men then proceed to beat down Magnus. However, Sting and Joe have enough in the back. They come down. They quickly take exception to what's going on, and they offer Magnus some help. Sting then challenges Ego to a six-man tag match.
All right, I have a problem with this segment.
Why do you have a problem with this segment? All
right, so Magnus calls out one member of Ego, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Kazarian came out, and then Daniels came out. You would think at that point the Mafia would have shown up to help out Magnus when it became two-on-one.
You think Magnus can't handle two guys?
You would think his boys would have his back. Only when it became 3-on-1 that they decided to show up. I'm just saying, if I were Magnus, I'd be ticked if they didn't show up, you know, when it became a 2-on-1 situation. At least Joe, worst thing, not both of them, one of them could at least he came out and even out the numbers. That's just my opinion, though, on the matter.
Well, to be fair, they did eventually come out.
They did, but it was late, you know. They could have came out and even up the odds.
Did eventually, but not right away. I mean, they could have been busy. Is that a pack of Deion Sanders sexy cards?
I don't know. I'm not watching.
Sorry, distractions. Actually, I think it's a cassette tape.
Why would they? Anyway. But yeah, besides that, you know, illogical idea. They could have been doing something. That's wrestling. They should be paying. They should know their boys in the ring, and should always have his back.
Well, the question is do they have his back? Because, well, you know, Magnus is the future. Magnus was supposed to be the one to win the Bound for Glory series, and eventually, you know, get his World Heavyweight Championship to cement his place in the Mafia. But well. That didn't quite happen because he didn't win the Bound for Glory series, so. Could Magnus be on the outs with the Mafia, or could the Mafia be on the outs with Magnus?
I suppose we'll have to wait and see.
I suppose we will. But speaking of waiting and seeing, we don't have to wait long because, well, backstage we see Chris Sabin and he's talking to Manic. He appreciates Manic's gutsiness for demanding a match with Jeff Hardy to Hulk Hogan. Sabin then proceeded to, you know, put himself over, talking about how, you know, he was a trailblazer, he's won the X Division title a whole bunch of times, he's been a tag team champion, and oh yeah, by the way, he was World Heavyweight Champion. But, you know, this is Manic's moment, and, you know, he's so proud of Manic, and way to go, dude, and go get him, Tiger type thing. I think that was actually a reference. But Manic, you know, says, oh, well, you know, my match is next, so I gotta go. So he bails. And, well, Chris Sabin and Velvet Sky, by the way, yes, she was there as Sabin's girlfriend, decide that they're gonna go take a closer look at the match.
Interesting. Why would they, you know, Sabin's promo, it's interesting.
And, by the way, Sabin was in all black and a beanie.
Mm-hmm. Which in a moment, Taz made fun of, you know, the fact that he's dressed like that, and, well, he has Velvet Sky.
Yeah, Taz was a little jealous.
Yeah, because Taz likes the pigeons.
Which I still don't know how her doing her thing has to do with pigeons. Somebody could explain that to me. I would greatly appreciate that, because I'm picturing pigeons coming out of that general area of her body, and that's not a pretty picture. So somebody, if somebody could please explain to me how her bending over and doing her little wiggle ties in with letting pigeons loose, I would greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, that's kind of... you just hear the quote, it's like, huh?
Huh? But anyway, after this we have Jeff Hardy versus Manic with Chris Sabin and Velvet Sky at ringside. This was a really nice match. Good opening contest.
Yeah, the match was good. It was a nice, solid matchup between the two. You want to see... I would want to see another one given more time, just a little bit.
Yeah, they had a little bit of... they had to cut it short just a little bit, I think, but it wasn't too bad.
No, the match was fine, but I would like to see them in like a 15-minute match and see what they can pull off together.
True, very true, and that might be something for Bound for Glory. But, you know, obviously since, well, Manic and... They seem to be doing something with Manic and Sabin, that may not happen.
That may not happen, but Jeff Hardy picked up the victory in this contest. You know, it was a solid match between the two. Manic looked good, Hardy looked good. But after the match, things happened.
Yeah, things did happen. You know, after the match, Chris Sabin came in and he raised Manic's hand, and well, then he took a couple cheap shots.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, Jeff Hardy didn't Jeff Hardy didn't exactly appreciate it, so, well, he came back down and helped Manic with Sabin, but Manic and, or I'm sorry, Sabin and Velvet decided to, well, they should, you know, probably bail, like, now.
Yeah, it was pretty much a good time to, well, get out of the ring, and Velvet was kind of perplexed by what Sabin was doing, and yeah, Sabin, the good side of Sabin is no longer.
Chris Sabin's not exactly happy, and, well, we find out why in the next segment, because Sabin and Velvet are preparing to leave in a hurry. They need to get out of there, like, now. And, well, the roving camera asks him, why did he attack Manic? And, well, because Manic disrespected him. He's the most disrespectful guy on the roster, and Sabin didn't appreciate it. You know, Sabin says nobody respects him or his accomplishments, what he's done for the company, or really for himself, and he's tired of it. So since nobody's going to respect him, he's going to take his respect. And we have heel Sabin.
Yeah, it's no longer Hail Sabin, it's Heel Sabin.
Heel Sabin, yeah. Yes.
I want to see where it goes. It's intriguing to see how this heel turn transpires, especially for the style he wrestles.
Yeah. I'm curious to see what they do with Sabin as a heel. This could be really interesting.
Mm-hmm. It could be.
But speaking of interesting, after this we get the match that at least I know I was looking forward to. I'm not sure about you.
I was looking forward to this. It's ODB, Mickie James for a Knockouts title. Who wouldn't be interested in this one?
This is a fantastic match by both ladies. They put on a heck of a show. Well done to both of them. Congratulations. ODB picks up the victory. She's your new Knocked Up champion.
Yes, she is the new Knocked Up champion.
But it's what happened after this match that was kind of awesome.
After the match, ODB was celebrating the ring. Out came Eric Young and Joseph Park. EY and ODB embraced. Joseph Park came out with his chocolate milk for the celebration.
EY had a bottle of champagne.
EY had champagne. Park had chocolate milk. Out came Promans. Robbie E was talking. He broke up this really weird celebration and, you know, called Joseph Park a third wheel hamster loser. Joseph Park responded, "How dare you, sir?"
I know, that was genius.
Park said they cannot diminish the new Knockouts champion and tried to besmirch the institution of the Holy Matrimony, and how dare they insult St. Louis fans by wearing those ridiculous outfits.
Line of the night. Seriously, line of the night. I, like, actually squeaked slightly when he said that. Like, we get fashion advice from Joseph Park! Yes!
Who knew? Who knew he was a fashion expert? Park said if he were not wearing a suit right now, he would teach them a lesson. Robert E. Said it sounds like Park is challenging him to a match. I never said that.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
I never went that far, but EY spoke and said, you know, Park has a suit on while he doesn't. Took off his, you know, clothing and was ready to fight Robbie E. And so we get Robbie E., Eric Young, the reddish wear off. And, well, here comes the clothesline. Ducked. Roll up. 1, 2, 3. Eric Young picks up the victory.
Which is awesome. I love how the qualifier was, if I wasn't wearing a suit jacket, I would totally kick your butt right now. Mm-hmm. And then EY's like, hey, he's in a suit. I love that that's the reason Joseph Park can't fight. He's in a suit.
That man's in a suit, goddammit. He can't dirty himself looking at, you know, Russell in a suit.
I love that. That was hilarious.
Or could he? Because Robbie E. was kind of upset and, well, basically challenged Park to a match.
Basically, yeah. You had, you know, EY and Joseph celebrating, you know, EY's victory, and Robbie E. got mad. He basically said, you know, that one didn't count because I wasn't ready for you, Eric Young, so, you know, that match is out of the record, and I wanted Joseph Park. I'm ready for Joseph Park. And, well, Robbie, you know, Park was trying to back out of the match, and Robbie basically called Joseph a chicken, and, well, that hit a nerve because, well, Mr. Park took off his suit jacket, and he accepted, and I have one little itty bitty qualm with this as they were cutting to break. And this is not necessarily their fault, and it's not necessarily his fault. He needs to do a little bit better job of taping up his wrists because you could see his tattoo on his wrist. You could see it. So he just needs to be a little bit more careful and, you know, make sure that he tapes that up so we don't see it. Unless Joseph Park is rocking some tattoos, which would be kind of awesome.
He's a hardcore lawyer, didn't you know that?
Yeah, he's totally a hardcore lawyer. He's got the Supreme Court tattooed on his back.
Mm-hmm. So, already, it's Robbie E., Joseph Park. Robbie E. goes for the big splash. Park moves out of the corner. Roll up. 1, 2, 3. It's all over. Joseph Park in the suit wins.
But they weren't done. No. After the match, the bromans, well, they were not going to take this lying down. And so what happens? Well, EY gets jumped as Joseph Park is out of the ring. They beat the crap out of EY. Then they beat the crap out of Joseph Park. They think everything is good and golden. Until, well, it seems Joseph Park cut his lip.
Oh, no.
And, well, he sees his own blood. And we all know what happens when Joseph Park sees his own blood. He has a little bit of a Abyss moment.
You know, his brother Abyss.
Yeah, his brother Abyss, who we haven't seen since he won the TV title, mm-hmm. by the way. That's listed on their website as the TV champion. I love it. But yeah, so, you know, he has a little bit of his moment where, you know, he has a mad and he sort of becomes his brother Abyss. And, well, he beats crap out of Robbie E. and Jesse. Mm-hmm. And they left them laying, and, well, as he was coming out of it, EY kind of, you know, had to tentatively, you know, be like, hey, dude, you okay? But ultimately, Joseph snapped out of it, and, well, the two of them celebrated their victory with EY having sort of an evil smirk.
All right.
So the question is EY trying to help Joseph Park? Or, as the announcers put it, is he a bit of an evil genius in, well, befriending Joseph Park and using that mental paralysis, as it were, to their best advantage?
He was one smart cookie, as we found out interviewing him a couple times. He's kind of a smart
cookie. He's basically
cookie.
A scientist, you know.
He is a scientist. Didn't you know this?
Yeah.
Fisherman, wrestler, scientist. You know, that's our deal. Alright, the one thing I noticed out of this whole segment, Robbie E. and Jesse have a finish.
They do!
I don't know where it came from, but they had one.
They do have a finish. I don't know what it's called either. I couldn't tell you.
I couldn't tell you what it was. But they hit it, and I was shocked to see it.
I was a little shocked, too. This whole little bit was really well done. It was very entertaining, but it's kind of like they sent them out there with no real purpose. But it was entertaining nonetheless, so bravo to everyone involved. So very well done to them. But after this, we move on. We see Hogan and Dixie talking backstage before Dixie says that she has it. And then the Aces and Eights come out. And before we cut to the audio of this, I would like to add, one, Brooke Chessmacher, go put some damn pants on. And two, why in the heck was Bully Ray leading her on a chain to the ring?
I couldn't tell you.
Literally, she was on a leash.
I know.
Literally.
I know, I saw.
I don't know. Anyway, audio, go.
Shut it off! Sounds like everybody is very happy to see me tonight. I understand you are proud of your world heavyweight champion. Hey, where's Ken Anderson? Couldn't make it tonight, could he? Now, let me ask you people a question. I want you to think about this. Really give it some thought. I know it's difficult for you. You're not exactly the smartest people in the world. Answer me this one question. Do you know who I am? That's right. You guessed it. I'm Bully Ray. I'm the World Heavyweight Champion. I'm the president of the Aces and Eights. And there's nothing anybody can do about it. There is somebody I need to thank. I gotta tell you, I could have not defended my World Heavyweight title if it wasn't for someone special. If it wasn't for somebody I got a lot of love for, and if it wasn't for somebody who always does the right thing by me, the reason I continue to be your World Heavyweight Champion is because of you, sweetheart. It's all because of you. Without you, I would be nothing. Brookie, you're like the wind beneath my wings. Seriously, the way you came to this ring and you drilled Ken Anderson right in the nuts for me. So much love for you. Everybody, that is the reason why I am the World Heavyweight Champion.
Brooke gets all the credit?
Why not? What's the problem? Yeah, for real. What's with the look on your face? 2 minutes ago you were smiling, now you're looking at me all hard. What's the problem? Whoa. Don't you shut your mouth. Don't you ever refer to her as just her again. That's my Brooke. That's my girl. As a matter of fact, don't even look at her anymore, Wes.
Whoa. He's got a point, Bully. He's got a point. Have you forgotten who's been with you since day one? Who's had your back night after night after night? Ever since she came along, your judgment and your priorities have been way out of whack.
I can appreciate your passion I like the fact that you're a fighter, you speak your mind, and that's why I love you, Bish. But I gotta tell you, don't you ever, and I mean ever, bow up to me again like that. Do you hear me? I made you, and I made you. You were a nobody before I brought you into this club, as were you. So if you ever step out of line again, or if you ever step out of line again, I guarantee you, I will smack you both in the face. Now,
what about me, Prez? You gonna slap me in the face too? I've been a member of this club since day one, a year and a half. You got a big mouth. And maybe I'm the guy to shut it for you. We sacrifice night after night, sitting in the back, waiting for you to get into trouble so we can do something, so we can come out here and save you, so we can keep that belt around your waist, so we can keep it in the club. After the first, what, year and a half, what do we have, 25 members? We're down to four. Four! What does that say about your leadership? Look in the mirror, man. This club is falling apart. All for good business. Club business. It's all for the good of the club, right? For the last year, it's been Bully Ray business, not club business. You don't care what we have to say. Club business, you forgot about the first rule of this club. Bros before hoes.
Explain something to you, Nuxie. If you ever step out of line again and you ever refer to my beautiful girlfriend as a hoe, if you ever refer to her as a hoe, I will knock your head off.
Let's go.
Let's go, baby. Let's go. Let's go.
Nuck's not backing down. I think Taz, all of a
sudden. Get away from her. Let's go, baby.
Your silence is speaking volumes right now.
It's just everything needs to. Everybody's got to chill out a little bit. I mean, the club is like.
There's no unity.
There's infighting, imploding. It's crazy.
What's happening with your club? Bros before hoes.
I thought that was guy rule number one.
It is guy rule number one.
I was going to say, so that's not necessarily unique to the Aces and Eights, but this is a really well-done segment.
Oh, it really was. And again, we're infighting between the group.
Yeah, and it's like Nux made an intelligent point. Who knew?
Who knew?
There's
wisdom in that beard.
There is. See, I'm telling you, beards make you wise.
It's working for Daniel Bryan and EY.
Totally.
So Nux is a scientist in training?
Possibly. Has he shot off a rocket yet?
I cannot confirm nor deny that he shot off a rocket.
We'll get an interview with the man and we shall ask him.
Anyway,
he made a really good point about how they've gone from 25 to 4. Because it's like when the Aces and Eights walked out, it's like, wow, they're really small and pathetic now. Like, it's just, it's four guys and Brooke Tasmucker.
Yeah, the once powerful group is no longer, there's no longer strength in numbers.
There isn't, because they don't have numbers. They're now, they could now easily be overpowered by really the locker room. without the main event mafia, but they could be easily overpowered with the main event mafia as well. So it's like you're seeing the beginning and the end, or the middle of the end, I guess, for the Aces and Eights. And, well, you know, ever since Bully decided that, well, he was going to reveal himself as club president and, you know, be TNA title holder, things have sort of gone kind of downhill for the Aces and Eights since then.
Yeah, it has. They have not gotten where they've not had the success they have wanted since he revealed himself as the leader. And, well, the takeover they once had is no longer there, so.
Right, so it's beginning and the end of the Aces and Eights, folks. And, well, could we see Bish and Wes and Nux go their separate ways?
In some fashion, possibly.
Because Bully's even lost his stranglehold over the club, where it's like there was a... We didn't talk about it, but they did a segment basically recapping Ken Anderson and talking about his health, and they didn't have any update on him. And they did interviews with the Aces in the back, and Nux said, "We didn't want to do it. We love him, but it's club business."
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't want to do it. They didn't want to take Anderson out, but they didn't have a choice. So could, well, maybe their minds be changed, and could that be something of, if Anderson resigns, he comes back and basically, you know, the boys have a change of heart, and, well, the boys go against Bully. And could we see the Aces and Eights help TNA take down Bully?
That's quite possible.
Or could we see the three men defect on their own and help the Mafia take down Bully?
Something's coming to a head, and it'll probably come to a head at Bound for Glory.
Would not be the least bit surprised, but yeah, very, very powerful, very good segment tonight. Well done. Still don't understand the leash thing, and Brooke Tessmacher, please put on some pants.
She was wearing chaps.
Yeah, but she's basically walking around in leather underwear and chaps.
It fits the biker gimmick.
She could wear leather pants and get the same result.
Like I told you last week, her ass is award-winning, so she's showing it off.
You can show it off by not, you know, basically walking around naked.
Again, it's an award-winning ass, so, you know, might be in her contract that she has to, you know, show it off like that. I don't know.
No, fail.
I'm stretching for an answer, so continue.
Continuing, moving on from this, we come back, or I should say we go back to the backstage area where we see Sting giving a rather down-in-the-dumps Magnus a pep talk. You know, they tell him not to be down about last week. You know, don't forget who you are. Don't forget who we are. You know, you still have a chance. You can still be World Heavyweight Champion. You know, but we've got to worry about this six-man tonight. So, you know, perk up, dude. And Joe jumps in the act and, you know, revs Magnus up. And Magnus gets up. And although he's, you know, ready to fight, he's still kind of in a funky mood.
His head's not completely in the game.
No, it's not. But, well, they're headed to the ring because they've got a match that they've got to deal with. And Mafia business is Mafia business.
But before we get to Mafia business, it is James Storm and Gunnar taking on Chavo Guerrero and Hernandez, but something kind of happened.
Yeah, at least that's what it was supposed to be, and I didn't catch the full promo, but this basically went from a tag match to a singles match, and I think it was Chavo that backed out.
He was not medically cleared to fight, he was injured.
Yes, he was injured, so, well, Storm and Gunner did not receive that news well. Gunner was there for a fight, and he wasn't going to leave until he got to kick somebody's butt. So, well, Hernandez stepped up and took the whooping, and, well, Storm said, "You go beat him up. I'm going to go drink beer." Go team.
Go team unity. So it was Gunner versus Hernandez with James Storm drinking and Chavo Guerrero standing around.
Yeah. Solid match. I mean, not really anything to write home about.
The match was fine. Gunnar was able to pick up the victory for the team.
He was.
So Chavo and Hernandez don't get the title shot because, well, they didn't win.
Nope. So, well, I guess the tag team champions are safe for another week.
Yes. Yes, so, they are.
So will we see the bromans? Or, well, could we see the team of Eric Young and Joseph Park challenge for the titles? I guess we'll have to see.
That's quite possible.
It could totally happen. Anyway, backstage, we see AJ talking on the phone. Meanwhile, they've been, you know, pimping the whole night that the confrontation between Dixie and AJ, which we're going to get into here in a minute. Before we get there, well, we had your main event match of the evening, which is the six-man tag between the Main Event Mafia and Ego. Very solid, very good match.
Pretty good match. It's all Bobby Roode pinned Magnus for the victory. After the use of a baseball bat.
Yeah, which left the Mafia just a little befuddled.
They were a bit befuddled. And Magnus is not happy.
No. No, Magnus does not have a happy right now.
Because he once again, for a second straight loss. He's very frustrated. He's befuddled. Tonight's Word of the Night. Brought to you by CanadianAllPro.com. Go see Johnny Devine take on Kamikaze in a British Rules 10-round, 3-minute gimmick.
No, 10-minute, 3-round.
Three 10-minute rounds. Yeah.
With winner getting as many pins as well. Dude, why couldn't you just do like a strap match or something? I mean, seriously.
They've done the strap match. Anyway, one of these
it's
pugs...
It's wrestling!
These,
you can do it again?
One of these pugs, we'll get it right. Anyway, go see Johnny Devine and Kamikaze. It's going to be awesome. It's War. Saturday night, Royal Canadian Legion, number one, Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
I was promised a cage. I want a cage, damn it. Give me the Legion's phone number. I'll call them.
Anyway. Moving along, Ego picked up the victory.
Yes, and, well, the Mafia was befuddled and not happy. But, well, Ego was, so that's all that matters. And finally, moving on to the main event segment of the evening. This is the one that when we read the spoilers, we're kind of like, I don't know about this one, but this was... We'll tell you what we thought of it in a minute, but just listen to the audio.
I have been here since day one in Nashville, Tennessee, in the asylum, busting my butt with a band of brothers just trying to make this an alternative for you to watch. Just trying to put this company on the map, but poof, it happened. Dixie Carter's daddy bought her a wrestling company. No blood, no sweat, and no experience in wrestling at all. I mean, hey, the problem is, it's that she broke up the chemistry that made TNA what it was. She broke up the chemistry, guys. That was the problem. All because she had stars in her eyes. And what happened to those stars? What happened to those X Division stars? What happened to Jerry Lynn? What happened to Low-Key? I'll tell you what happened to those guys. Dixie Carter traded him in for MMA stars and guys who apparently needed a 2-year paid vacation to come down to TNA, do absolutely nothing, and go back where they belong. And for what? And for what? I'll tell you. So that Alex Shelley couldn't be here? So Jay Lethal couldn't be here. Petey Williams. All these great wrestlers are not here because of that very thing. And it pisses me off. Am I the only one who's not pissed off about this? But here's your biggest mistake, Dixie. Your biggest mistake is staring you right in the face. You see, you've given me the opportunity to win your world heavyweight title. And despite what the internet says, I don't have a contract here. And believe you me when I say this, Dixie, there's not a contracted wrestler back there that has any respect for you anyway. All those band of brothers that you picked off one by one, you left one standing. I'm going to win that world heavyweight title. I'm going to win it. And I'm going to win it for me. I'm going to win it for those band of brothers. I'm going to win it for you. And Dixie, I'm going to make you get on your knees and beg. And then I'm going to make you pay.
This is a side of AJ Styles that we have never, ever seen before. And now the outspoken AJ about to come face-to-face with TNA President Dixie Carter.
Yeah, this is a little, this is crazy out here, what's going on. This is crazy.
Well, say something. You know, I expected a tweet or something. We all know you can do that. Yeah, I didn't get any response from you. Say something.
I've known you a long time, AJ. And I know honestly, that for you to come out here and say these kind of things in this public way, that you mean them from the bottom of your heart. And I'm sorry. As president of this company, I have to be accountable. I hold myself accountable. I'm accountable to our investors, to the professionals that work in this ring, to my staff, to these fans. And AJ, I am accountable to you. And I owe you an apology. And I'm sorry. I am so, so sorry that I ever, ever, ever allowed you to think that you were important in this company. And I should have told you a long, long time ago that you have never been anything more than a little bit better than an average fish in any pond. And you hear what I mean? Any pond you might be in, AJ. And this whole phenomenal one stuff, it's an illusion. And by the way, an illusion that I created. A marketing gimmick for all of those wonderful five-star matches that you used to have. And I say used to have because I can't freaking remember the last time you had one. And you know what else? Everything about you lately, in front of the camera, behind the camera, in the locker rooms, has been so subpar that you would be lucky if we call you the marginal one, because I swear you are nothing. You are nothing like you used to be. Nothing. But I will tell you one thing. No, wait, everybody, please. I am very thankful. I am thankful to you. Honestly, thank you so much for allowing me to come into my ring on my show and have a chance to respond to all of the crap
you have criticized me about in the last few weeks. And I hope now maybe we're a little bit more crystal clear and on the same page. By the way, without my daddy's paycheck, you would still be in a trailer. And this house that AJ Styles built that all these people always talk about, guess what? Dixie Carter built that house. She owns it. And you are lucky, lucky, lucky to ever have played in it. You hear me?
Hey, Dixie, before you go, why don't you put that microphone where it belongs?
It's the party is over.
I secretly hurt this promo so much.
Well, it's no longer a secret.
Yeah, I know. Yes, Kinkins, AJ Styles is now anti-establishment.
He's pro-fan, anti-establishment, yeah.
This was, like I said before, this was a segment that we were sitting here when we read the spoilers, and it's like, wait, they're gonna have Dixie go heel? And it was basically like we're going to have to see this to really be able to judge it, because just from the reading the spoilers, you're like, I don't know about this one. And then it's like you see it. This was like levels of epic.
And this is where I'll pose a question to you. After everything that's been going on recently, can we see Dixie Carter now working with Bully Ray to keep the belt away from AJ Styles?
We totally could.
I put out this question on Twitter, asking the fans, do you agree with the points AJ Styles is making? And over, you know, just basically the majority says, yes. They agree. One person goes, sweet segment overall, was worried it would come off phony. Oh, heck yeah, absolutely. Yes, AJ is becoming the voice of the frustrated TNA fans. Fanboys will scream punk ripoff, but whatever. So people are agreeing with AJ Styles' points.
It's not punk ripoff.
No, but well, anytime someone does a pipe bomb, it's a punk ripoff. You do realize that, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. But, yeah, it's basically AJ Styles took the voice of the internet fans and used it online, and that's the way it was written. It's basically they went out, and you know what they did. You know where this probably came from?
Where's that?
Hashtag Ask Dixie.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they took probably all this crap from. They've collected it all from Twitter, all from Facebook, all from shows like this, where people, not us personally because we don't do that, but people who bash the product, they took all this and they've poured it now into a storyline. And I love how Dixie basically walked out there. And I love Dixie more than AJ, although this was probably one of the best promos I have ever heard AJ Styles cut.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. This was fantastic. He was phenomenal. Pardon the pun. But Dixie in this was just as good and basically told the entire fan base to F off.
Pretty much.
Told everybody, it's like, you know what, without me, and she's right. Liker or hater, without her, we would not have TNA because they would not have had the money. They were bankrupt when Dixie's daddy bought the company.
Right.
So it's been her money that has saved TNA. So, but yeah, this, I'm actually really excited to see where this goes.
I'm interested too. It was a nice promo on both sides, and I like how, you know, she's right with it. They brought up the fact, you know, without Dixie's father's money, there would be no TNA, and well, us fans and AJ Styles should you know, come to accept that. So yeah, the mixing of the blurred reality, as it were, kind of works in this situation.
It does, and could, you know, since Hogan's contract is up a couple weeks, and there's been no indication that he's resigned as of yet, could we see Hogan leave, and could we see Dixie take over as the authority in the company?
It's possible.
And we have heel Dixie, which could be kind of amazing.
I wonder if that's a hashtag already.
Probably.
Heel Dixie. At least there's a Twitter for it. Yeah.
Oh, internet. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, there is a hashtag, heel Dixie, really. Yeah.
Okay. That's my favorite. But yeah, so I'm really curious to see where they go with this, and it's nice to see Dixie in the heel role, because she apparently does sarcasm really well.
Apparently.
So, like I said, thoroughly enjoyable, this segment. They proved me wrong, thank goodness. It was very well done.
And, you know, what was the point you brought up? The ass Dixie line?
Yeah.
Well, the heel Dixie goes, so at TNA AJ Styles, you wanted to ask Dixie in public, you saw who was in control. Hashtag lights out.
Ooh.
That's not from actual TNA Dixie, that's from heel Dixie.
Oh, I know, but still, it was a good one. And yeah, it's like, there was somebody, I saw it on Twitter the other day, where they're saying, what happened to the hashtag Ask Dixie? You know, TNA needs to start, you know, stop starting something and then not finishing it. And it's like, well, for the record, had, you know, the Ask Dixie hashtag not gotten spammed and the internet acted like a bunch of jerks, then, you know, they would probably still be doing it.
Well, I stand corrected.
Hmm.
Dixie Carter did say, actually say it. The real Dixie Carter did say, so at AJ Styles' work, you wanted to ask Dixie in public? You saw who's in control. Hashtag lights out.
Go Dixie. Take charge, girl. Yeah, this whole segment just gave me a whole new appreciation for Dixie Carter on a completely new level.
So there you go. So Dixie did actually put it out. There you go.
So yeah, this was a great segment. Well done to her. Bravo to her. Bravo to AJ. This was a good show.
Good show.
The segments were, the talking was a little bit stronger than the wrestling, but we got really good wrestling last week. So it was a nice balance.
Indeed it was.
And we now see the home stretch, as it were, for Bound for Glory next month.
Indeed.
But on that note, I say we enter the home stretch, as it were, and go to break. And when we come back, we are going to be talking all about Night of Champions. We're going to give you our thoughts and our opinions on the show, what we liked, what we didn't like. So you're listening to The Wreck right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We will be right back.
Wait across the line. Everybody's doing what everybody's doing. Everybody's doing the same thing. I'll be doing what I'll be doing. I'll be doing my thing. The world spins round to the right, they say. I'll be spinning the other way. Doing what I can, doing what I know. The world's my stage and I'm the show. It is my destiny. It is the truth I see. In this world I find a way to cross the line.
Looking for the latest in all things TNA Wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA Wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA-related events, and a first look on the behind-the-scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
It started as a ride on the short bus.
Today on, well, yeah, right now on our subject of matter is, as McConnell liked to say, bitches. Her trip.
And it's turned into the worldwide phenomenon known as your only excuse to be home on a Saturday night.
If I can find out how to record shit on my phone while I'm in the middle of plowing, I'll just go, yay, listen to CB Radio!
October 5th.
The biggest milestone since the night Big Daddy Ace threw up on the air is reached.
You know, it sucks. I want to throw up, but I don't think I can. Keep in mind, Will, this is all for you.
It's the 300th episode of CB Radio.
Let's look out. Do I see my shadow? Oh, look, it's 4 billion years of awesome radio.
Join us for all the weird.
The plan is that now you're getting dragged into it. You and Rob are going to come up to my place in North Carolina, and we're going to have one big, drunken episode.
Whoa, we don't swing that way, dude.
Not like that.
Spooning and ball.
We're all wearing shoes, jackass.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Wacky.
So, shouldn't, midget porn be half off?
You know, actually, they say it's double.
Yeah, that's an exotic right there.
I'd have to argue with that, though. Well, it's only half a woman, though. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, you can fit more midgets on a chain than you can full-grown people.
And the unusual.
And apparently nudity is allowed if you're a female. So we don't want any male genitalia.
But it took me a long time to actually paint your face. That part of the cost is the role play.
Oh, right.
Batman and the Joker. I still can't get the green paint out of my snatch.
For the 300th episode of CB Radio, Saturday night,
October 5th,
live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas with Big Daddy Ace, Sir Rockin', Subway was on, Rob Park was on, CP was on for a little bit, William McConnell was here for a short while, then he decided to fucking... You know what? Me and Rob Park are all hammered. Thank you guys for listening. Have a good night, ladies and gentlemen. Peace out, bitch asses.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with WrestleTalk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join WrestleTalk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I'm Santino Marella.
I'm going to prove to you and everyone else that I am the greatest intercontinental champion, eh? How about the time?
You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by our friends over at Memorabilia Lane. That's right, MemLanePromo.com for all your memorabilia needs. And before we get into Night of Champions, if you're just joining us, you missed our awesome interview with Santino Marella, so check that out in the archive tomorrow. And also our review of TNA Impact. But now we're going to take a little break, we're going to have a little fun, and we're going to do Tweet of the Week.
To be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
By the way, Tommy, the Cowboys winning the East by default, that's not an accomplishment. It's not something they should be proud of.
And now, I like how a Jets fan is talking so tough.
Anyway, I have probably less than you do. How many do you have?
I have a bunch, so you go.
I figured as much. So, okay, first one is WWE Magazine. Hey, at Bray Wyatt, at Luke Harper, at Eric Rowan, we've got a message for you, and they posted this picture, and I will put it in the chat, and I will send it to Rock, so he can see.
Nice
picture. Does it go out of the chat?
Nice picture.
I died laughing at that. Anyway, Renee Young. So, should I do a run-in now? Hashtag new WWE champ. Hashtag Raw. Matt Stryker. Today, I am a handyman. I have a tape measure on my belt and tools galore. Later, I will jump in the ocean and all will be proper. Christopher Daniels. As a known overpacker, packing just for carry-ons ends up being like an episode of Mission Impossible, complete with theme music in my head.
Okay.
So, that's it. What have you got?
Dolph Ziggler, Human Centipede tonight, then maybe a movie. Not Bill Walton. The Pats score quicker than Lamar Odom, Lindsay Lohan, and Amanda Bynes in an unguarded crack house.
Oh, Jesus.
Today, not Bill Walton, today is Friday the 13th. Beware of freaks, zombies, and losers with bad luck. In other words, stay clear of the New York Jets. AJ Lee, I will be on SmackDown commentary tonight, writing checks that my ass can certainly cash. And probably getting myself into a great deal of trouble.
You usually do, sweetie.
Was her follow-up tweet. We mentioned during the interview Santino Marella made some tweets. So here they are. Driving through very scary cornfields in Michigan. Not another car in sight. GPS, don't fail me now. I hear crying outside, but not sure from where. I'm freaked out. The Cobra is in the trunk. I don't want to stop to get it. Oh my God, gaslight came on. Am I dreaming this? Finally, other cars. Dot, 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 dot. Oh, I think it's following me. And that's where the transmission with his Twitter went, you know. Away for the evening. So that's why we asked the question. Not Bill Walton. Alabama scores 28 points in a row. This proves, once again, that the only thing that they can stop their players is the SAT test.
Oh!
AJ Lee, I almost got kidnapped at a Subway sandwich restaurant in Canada, and Big E Livingston did nothing to stop it. That's why I fired you, E. He responds, I gave you that whistle and mace for a reason. Blow and spray.
I just face-palmed.
Scott Fishman, for his next fight, hashtag Mayweather, is planning to be escorted to the ring by Taylor Swift and Barney. Because, you know, when it comes to the ring with Justin Bieber, everything is fair game. Scott Fishman, JRS Barbecue could announce the phone book and make it seem like the biggest event on the planet. He was, / that good. Not Bill Walton, Floyd Mayweather won. In other news, the grass is green, the daytime is, sky is blue, water is wet, and Chris Bosh is soft. The Tommy Dreamer, my dog, wanted up on my bed. I didn't pick him up because I was tired. He pulled my clean clothes off my suitcase and pissed on them. Now I'm awake. Not Bill Walton. Aaron Rodgers is Mayweathering the Redskins' defense right now. Meanwhile, RG3 is getting shut out. Or, as I call it, getting Canelo'd.
Oh.
Wes Welker coughs up more balls than Ryan Seacrest. And that's saying a lot.
Ouch!
Not Bill Walton. Wes Welker's drops aren't so bad as other former Pats. His drops only lead to interceptions. Aaron Hernandez's drops leads to encroachment.
Ouch.
The fun Skip Bayless, not the real Skip Bayless, fun Skip Bayless. Sources: God says he will not stop lightning delays until Tim Tebow is back in the NFL. Not Bill Walton. So a lightning warning is serious enough to protect the players, but not enough to send the fans home. Tupac cares if the NFL... don't the NFL care? Yeah. Not Bill Walton. No taunting in football. Next, they're going to say players have to tell the opposition, good job, good effort, after every play. Not Bill Walton. This year for Halloween, I'm going to wear an Andy Dalton jersey so I can throw candy 15 feet above the kids' heads. Oh, the hilarity. And finally, the fake ESPN. After McNabb walks across the field for a jersey retirement ceremony, he'll have more rushing yards this year than the entire Browns offense.
Ouch!
And that's Tweet of the Week.
Some of those were good.
Yeah.
Harsh, but
harsh.
Good.
Never said they were going to be not harsh.
Well, speaking about, I guess, harsh, but good? I don't know, no transition. Let's get into Nine Champions.
All right, let's get into it. Let's start from the beginning and work our way through?
Absolutely. Sadly, I did not get to see the pre-show.
You did not get to see the pre-show?
I did not get to see the pre-show, and I neglected to watch it. However, congratulations to the primetime players for defeating the Usos, Tons of Funk, and the Real Americans. And, oh yeah, 3-Man Bam was there, too.
Yeah, it got better when we got rid of, like, 3MB and Tons of Funk. The Usos were pretty good, but the primetime players ended up winning. Right? Yeah. Primetime players ended up winning and getting the shot later on in the evening against the Shield. Nothing, you know, it was a simple match, nothing special. You had a bunch of two-minute matches, basically what it turned out to be.
Oh, and by the way, before we move on, we have a late injury for Tweet of the Week from Kane Gittins. Tim McMahon, the Cowboys are the only NFC East team that doesn't have a losing record.
Yet.
Give it time.
Just pointing that one out. Giving it time.
It's the Cowboys, dude. So we move into the actual show, where it started out with Triple H coming out.
Yeah, it started out with Triple H coming out. He cut a promo, and, you know, talking about, you know, everything that's going to happen tonight, and, you know, the match. And he's going to make it fair. How no one will get involved in the main event. And then you had Paul Heyman come out. He was begging for the match to be canceled. And, well, Triple H and Curtis Axel exchanged some words. And then Curtis started opening his mouth. And, well, that wasn't good for him because Triple H then booked the match to anyone he will see. First person he sees, rather, when he walks to the back, will get a shot at the Intercontinental title because it is Night of Champions. And, well, every championship has to be on the line, so...
Yep.
That's what happened. We had a championship match before we get to the match itself. What'd you think of the promo?
I thought the promo was actually really good. I'm a little over, you know, Triple H coming out at the start of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But this got better as it went on because you had Triple H be like, oh, I'm going to make it fair. There will be no interference from me. There will be no interference from the Shield. You know, the WWE title match is going to go down completely 100% fair, in quotations, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
That infamous phrase, in the interest of fairness.
In the interest of fairness.
And I like that, you know, because we had all been calling, well, how are they going to do this? How are they going to screw Daniel Bryan out of the title? Because we all figured they were going to screw Daniel Bryan over in some fashion. And we got the screw job on Raw as opposed to United Champions. But I liked how they did this. I liked how he did that and what it led to later in the night. But I also liked Heyman, you know, coming out, begging for Hunter to cancel the match. Heyman really, as far as this goes, played his part so perfectly.
Oh, without question. He played the role perfect. And, well, so Triple H walked to the back, and the first person he found was Kofi Kingston. So
Kofi, honey, shorts. Go back to the shorts.
I have a story about that in a second. Kofi Kingston, Curtis Axel for the Intercontinental Championship. What'd you think?
This was a really good, solid match. Very enjoyable, easy to watch, and we were sitting there and they're watching it, and they gave them a lot of time on this match. And I said it to you in the chat that we were having, where I said, watch. They're going to give Axel his win over Kofi, so he gets his loss later in the night against Punk.
Right.
So the win and the loss cancel each other out, and that's pretty much what happened, is they gave Axel a really nice, long match with Kofi. The two put on an excellent showing. They both showed what they could do. And you had Axel pick up his win.
Heyman was good. He was, as the manager, he really wasn't helping. He was just sitting there, cringing, and like, why are you taking so long with him, basically, you know, because you have another match later in the night. So, you know, this long match kind of wore down his protector for the evening.
Right, and Heyman got more and more worried the longer it took. Like, you could just tell on Heyman's face that, like, oh, crap. Just, oh, crap.
Now, here's a little nugget of information. You know how mean you've been really annoyed by the pins, right?
Right.
We're not the only ones. Kofi Kingston has not made a friend with the chairman of the board right now because of the pants.
Really?
Vince doesn't like the pants.
Vince, you're within the sound of my voice. Mr. McMahon, please, make him change the pants. It is within your authority to do so.
I don't think he said anything to Kofi, but yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Kofi's back to shorts really soon, but because Vince is not a fan.
They don't work for him.
No, they don't.
And especially when, you know, he does, like, neon orange.
And yellow.
Yeah. And yellow, like, colors that make your eyeballs peel. Yeah, dude, shorts. Shorts. A little bit of that color goes a long way. Just pointing that out.
Hashtag art major.
Yes, hashtag art major.
Alright, so this is where things got interesting on the night. Because it is Night of Champions, WWE ran some polls. Apparently on the app, I guess?
Yeah, I think. Or no, I think it was on .com, wasn't it?
I don't know where it was. But they were running polls all night. The first one for the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all the times, which of course is Santino Morella. But he was not on this poll for some reason.
Shenanigans!
So you had the choices of Rick Rude, Kurt Hennig, Pat Patterson, Chris Jericho, and the Honky Tonk Man for the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. And Chris Jericho won.
I'll accept that.
I'll accept that one. The other ones later get a little bit more interesting.
Yeah, the other ones later we kind of call shenanigans on, but this one I'll accept. I think it's, they obviously put names on there to swerve you in a certain direction.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like some of the names that they put on there, it's like the older fans would obviously know, and they would obviously have seen, but for the younger fan base, you know, like the Honky Tonk Man, the younger fan base has never seen the Honky Tonk Man as the Intercontinental Champion. They never saw Kurt Hennig as the Intercontinental Champion.
Right.
So it's something of they sort of steer you in that specific direction. But it's nice that they at least gave them a nod to put them on the poll.
Mm-hmm. After this, we had Spanish 1-on-1 with Ricardo and Van Dam.
Yes, apparently World Heavyweight Champion in Spanish is RVD, Rob Van Dam.
We then had AJ talking with the girls, and the girls basically left her.
So she's alone.
She is all alone because she then heads into the next matchup. But before we get to that, the poll was Wendi Richter, Fabulous Moolah, Trish Stratus, Lita, and Michelle McCool for the greatest Divas champion of all the time. Say it.
if she won, I told Rock this, I said, if she won, and you know, if you know me, you know which she I'm talking about. I told him my computer was going through my sliding glass door.
Thankfully, that did not happen, because 56% of the people voted for Trish Stratus as the greatest Divas champion of all time, even though she's never held a belt. But I guess Divas Women's Champion is the same thing to them.
Yeah, when Michelle unified the belts, the Women's Championship became the Divas Champion, so technically all the previous holders are Divas Champions as well.
Apparently Ken Kidd would want to see you through your, you know, computer through the sliding glass door.
If I had a spare one, because this is the good one, I probably could. And, you know, if they were going to replace my sliding glass door, I probably would.
Which now leads to our Divas Championship match, the Fatal 4-Way. Brie, Bella, Naomi, Natalya, and AJ Lee. Starters, Brie Bella.
Thank you for ruining my childhood. Bella Bright? No! No! I'm doing the Daniel Bryan! No! No. And the other two didn't help. Like, there's apparently a picture going around that I've seen of the other two dressed like the slutty version of Rainbow Bright.
There's a bunch.
No.
They took a bunch of them.
Oh, I know they took a bunch of them. They wore them on Raw. They came out dressed like that on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
No. Fail. Wrong. Go take it off and burn it with fire. Just now.
You knew things were serious when Naomi had her hair tied back?
Yeah, you knew when she walked out there with her in a ponytail, it was going down.
And legit ring gear, too.
Yeah, I liked her ring gear. It looked good on her.
It was good. What did you think of the match?
I thought it was a solid match. They had a couple hiccups and hard spots, but other than that, I thought it was a pretty good match. There was, you know, do we just want to get into it now with the thing with the referee?
We can get into the thing with the referee. Go ahead.
Yeah, so if you didn't see this match, you haven't listened to any other show on the network, there was basically a spot where Natalya was going to go for a double sharpshooter, which apparently she's never done before. Hint, hint, wink, wink. And there's basically, it was the Bella and Trinity, or I should say Naomi, sorry, I call it Trinity because of Total Divas, but basically the Bella and Naomi, Trinity was laying on top of Brie?
Brie was on top of Naomi.
Okay. Anyway, one was on top of the other, on their backs, so Naomi's shoulders were down to the mat. Basically, Brie had Naomi pinned in the match.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have done a 20 count for as long as they laid there. So technically, Brie won the match just based on that spot alone, but the ref didn't count it.
And the only reason it was made a big deal, no one would have really noticed if it wasn't for JBL kind of pointing it out.
Yeah, JBL, thank you, basically was like, well, wait a minute, hold on a second, you know, there's a pin. There's a pin right in front of the referee. So it's like, that's, you know, and everybody started making a big deal about it because it's like, yeah, there's a pin, why aren't they counting? It's inconsistent refereeing. And then you have Natalya go for the sharpshooter or the double sharpshooter. And then, obviously, AJ came in and picked up the win after that, but yeah, it was like, leave it to JBL to point out.
He was probably not clued in. Oh, they're trying to do the spot, so keep your mouth shut.
I don't think you would have anyway, but yeah, it's like that, or maybe they're trying to do something with the referees, because, well, we'll get into what else happened. So we already mentioned the fast count. You know, as far as the inconsistent refereeing in the WWE and the fact that this is not the first time this has happened, where the ref has blatantly missed something.
Right.
And is this going to potentially become a thing where they do something with the referees? I don't know.
I hope not.
I hope not. But what I'm trying to figure out is it the same ref that botched the finish with Natty and AJ like a month ago? Was it the same ref or was it a different one?
I don't remember.
If anybody knows, put it in the chat box or send it to us. But I was kind of curious to know whether he was the same ref or not. And hopefully King Kitten's McRib does not come back on the WWE menu. Look of death right now. Look of death. Anyway. Luckily, you know, basically the end of the match was AJ locked in the Black Widow on Natalya. Natalya tapped out, and well, your winner and still Divas champion, AJ Lee.
And for the record, it was not the same referee.
Okay. Fair enough.
I went and looked at the pictures. So yes, AJ Lee picks up the victory, retains the Divas title, and called it. Just pointing that one out.
I called it.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, here I can say on this show, I called it, and I got shut down, like I did all night on Sunday.
By the way, you know, somebody went 6-1.
Yeah.
Just, you know, pointing that out.
Well, just rub it in my face even more, huh?
Eagles lost to the Chiefs. You said rub it in more.
I wasn't talking about that game. Up next, World Heavyweight title, Rob Van Dam and Alberto Del Rio.
But before we get there, shouldn't we talk about the panel and the poll?
They actually announced the poll results after this one, so I'm following along.
Okay, well, fine. Be that way. Anyway, this one was confusion, too, because it was... originally on SmackDown, they had announced that Ricardo was not going to be a part of the match. But if he could beat Del Rio, he could be a part of it.
I guess he just had to fight Del Rio, maybe?
I don't know. This was a little confusing, because... Ricardo was at ringside.
He was indeed at ringside. He was there for it, yeah.
Yeah, and well, we had the match between Alberto Del Rio and RVD, which was, it was a solid match.
Pretty good. I enjoyed it.
You know, it was very enjoyable. Not bad at all. Pretty much what you were expecting.
Pretty much what you were expecting. A little bit stiff. A couple missed time spots in the early going, but they got themselves together. And Del Rio locked in the cross-arm breaker for the victory, but it was not to be because he did not let it go, so the referee reversed the decision and disqualified Del Rio, and so he keeps the belt, but RVD gets the win by DQ. And then things got interesting after the match. Del Rio continued work on it with a chair. Ricardo snuck in, stopped him. RVD roughed up Del Rio a bit, and then hit the Van Damme in there. The Van Terminator on Alberto Del Rio.
Which was a nice spot.
It was a nice spot. You know, Shane McMahon, you know, the move Shane McMahon invented. Coast to coast. Pillar to post.
Right, the move Shane McMahon invented.
Well, a lot of people claim he invented.
He didn't invent it, folks.
I know.
I know, I'm just saying it for the people out there that think he did. He didn't invent that move.
No, he didn't.
I'm pretty sure RVD did not invent that move either.
Yeah, he did. That's an RVD move.
That's an RVD move, but I'm sure other people did it before him.
I don't know.
They could have.
They could have, but I doubt it.
I doubt it, but they could have. But anyway, yes. It's actually RVD's move. He did it. He pulled it off. It was really nice. And, well, Damian Sandow sent out a tweet before this, basically potentially teasing a cash-in, and we did not get a cash-in, to which allowed Damian to go, "Fooled you! Ha ha!" But after this, in the back, we have Paul Heyman, and he's giving a pep talk to Curtis Axel, basically, don't lose.
Mm-hmm. "I won't be here if I'm left alone," is what with CM Punk he said.
Yeah, and will have nobody.
Mm-hmm. "And tonight, I need you to believe in yourself."
Yes, I need you to win.
So then, this brings up the poll Lindsay was talking about—the greatest world heavyweight champion of all time. Booker T beat Ric Flair, Undertaker, Edge, and Batista.
Okay, I'm calling shenanigans on this. Clear shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
There is no way on God's green earth that that happened legit. I refuse to believe that. And this is no offense to Booker T. None whatsoever. It's just, it's like you've got Ric Flair, The Undertaker, and Edge.
And Batista.
You've got Flair, Edge, and Taker.
And Batista.
Batista gets canceled out by those three. Booker could legit beat Batista.
Okay.
It's those three. I mean, that was... You were clearly expecting Flair to win that.
Or at least Edge.
Or at least Edge. Especially since Edge was showing up Monday night. It's like you would expect that. So it's like when they came up with Booker T, it's like, what?
Yeah, Edge was fresh in people's mind because it was there on Raw and SmackDown. So it's like, he should have won, but no, Booker T beat them all out. It's like, tell me I didn't just read that?
By a sizable margin, too.
Mm-hmm. And Booker, when they do the cutaway thing later in the show, he was laughing about it.
Yeah, he's like, that's crap.
Mm-hmm. We then have backstage Triple H explaining to Randy Orton why he opted for no interference in the match. Hunter said he wants to make sure he made the right choice when he picked him for to be the face of the WWE. Orton said, you did.
Yep. So after this week...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say after this, we get the bonus match, but do we want to talk about the backstage promo first?
Simple, to the point. Sets up what is to come.
It does. After this, we get The Miz versus Fandango.
Hey, you got it right.
Happy?
Yes, I am very happy. solid match between the two.
My favorite part of the match is honestly when Summary comes out and JBL and all his jubilance goes, Mrs. Fandango!
It's now hashtag too.
They're like, it's Summary, JBL, Mrs. Fandango!
I love I get a kick out of Fandango and Summary. They're fun.
Oh, they are fun. And she's been wearing some really cool outfits lately.
She has Miz wins with the figure four.
Woo! Ric Flair is proud.
Yes.
After this, we get the video package for the handicapped elimination match, which was absolutely fantastic. We have Curtis, Axel, and Paul Heyman make their way down to the ring. Heyman looks like, he's headed to the gallows, which is a little apropos, seeing as, well, Puck comes down, the arena erupts, and, well, rather than saying, it's clobbering time, he upped the ante by saying, it's time to die.
So he strutted to the ring with his stick in his hand, ready to go. And Punk and Axel had a pretty good fight. Like the teases with Heyman going after him a bunch, and Axel making the saves. I know you like the JBL hat spot.
Oh, the JBL hat spot was awesome. I forget what move CM Punk did. I think he did a dive out of the ring.
He did the suicide dive on the Heyman.
And then he picks up JBL's hat, puts it on his head, tips it, and then puts it back down on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Only CM Punk could get away with that. Only Punk.
Only CM Punk. So they had a pretty good fight between the two of them.
They did.
He hit the GTS, and then the Anaconda Vice, and Axel tapped L. And then it left Heyman alone with CM Punk, and Heyman's eyes bulged out of his head. Punk was giddy as a schoolgirl.
All of CM Punk's Christmases for his entire life came at once.
So, CM Punk came prepared because he brought handcuffs.
He had a problem getting out of his boot.
They had a problem getting out of his boot, but he finally got him onto Paul Heyman. And then started hitting him in the back with the stick, and Heyman goes, oh God, that hurt.
I'm tapping! I'm tapping! You can't see it, but I'm tapping!
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's no cue to no DQ, dude. You gotta actually tap. You can't use your foot or your face.
Mm-hmm. So then, as the match the ass kicking continued, CM Punk looks at him and says, "I broke your heart." I broke your heart. As a question, now I'm going to break your face.
And he's got the stick. It's pointed at Heyman. And even us are going, now, wait a minute. Hold on now. This is a PG, folks.
Out ran Ryback. And he speared him through the table. Punk is laid out.
It's a really nasty gash on his back.
Really nasty gash on his back. Not as nasty as Bob Holly's, but pretty good bad. Ryback drags him out of the corner. Puts Heyman on top. 1, 2, 3. Paul Heyman is now the best in the world.
To which we all sat there and were like, but not Ryback. But this was an extremely well done match. Worth watching the pay-per-view alone. Go find it if you haven't seen it. It's really well done. Props to Paul Heyman for taking the shots, because he took 20 or 30 kendo stick shots easy.
Mm-hmm.
And not all of them were worked.
No, he took a lot of shots. He was having fun.
Yeah, and he was probably padded up to an extent, but even padded up, you still felt those.
Mm-hmm.
So props to Paul Heyman, and this led to the most awkward moment on Monday Night Raw to date. Apparently Ryback and Paul Heyman are now a thing.
Someone even has a locket with their pictures in it.
Yes, rebound relationships, they're always tough.
We then move on. U.S. title match. Dolph Ziggler, Dean Ambrose.
Oh my god, this is fantastic.
Did a pretty good match, and which saw Dean Ambrose win clean over Dolph Ziggler. 1, 2, 3.
Yay, Dean!
Any other thoughts?
This is a really good match, and then, well, out of nowhere, literally, Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns just, you know, appeared. Literally out of nowhere. It's like they panned away or they cut away, and then they came back, and boom, there they were. And it's like, where'd they come from?
Right. And before we get to the tag match, the U.S. title poll was won by Sting over Ricky Steamboat, Sergeant Slaughter, Harley Race, and Bobo Brazil. Sting wins the WWE poll. Interesting.
Very interesting.
But this led to the tag team title match, the Primetime Players challenging Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns for the gold. Pretty good match.
This was a pretty good match.
Reigns was able to speed up titles, and which allowed Rollins to pin him for the victory. So Rollins and Reigns keep the belts. Yeah, pretty much what you can say on that one. It was a match.
It was a match. I mean, it was a pretty good match. They didn't get a lot of time for it, but they got enough that they could make it work, and then you had all three members of the Shield, I think, afterwards pose in the ring.
Yeah, they did a pose in the ring, yeah.
Yeah. So, congratulations to the Shield. They maintained their power by keeping their titles.
Right. And now we get the greatest tag team of all time. You had the British Bulldogs, the Wild Samoans, the Heart Foundation, Legion of Doom, all lose to D-Generation X.
We're so shocked.
I'm a DX mark, and I was kind of surprised by this one.
It's like you have LOD in there. You would think at least LOD would pick up a win, but again, it's the old school fans. For a lot of those, the old school fans know who they are, but for the younger fans, they don't.
Right.
So it's basically, this was again a poll that they're trying to point you in a very clear direction, and that direction is DX. Because everybody knows who DX is.
Right. Then we get the WWE Championship poll. Triple H, CM Punk, John Cena, Steve Austin, and Hulk Hogan, and Hulk Hogan wins. Surprised he won over Steve Austin. Kind of.
I'm surprised he won over John Cena.
I'm not. But I figured Steve Austin would have won, but no, it was Hulk Hogan.
Good nod to Hogan, so...
Let the speculation begin.
Let the speculation begin. We have Sting and Hogan win polls, so, could something be going on? Very, very interesting. But then we get to, well, the match of the night, the one everybody was waiting for, wondering about, questioning, the WWE Championship match, Randy Orton taking on Daniel Bryan. This was a heck of a match.
Oh, yeah, these two had a heck of a match. It's exactly what you expected out of these two. Well, kind of. They've had better matches, but this was pretty good. We had a rough bump. I'm sorry. Continue.
No, I was just going to say, I think they were better in the past just because Randy had a little bit more intensity in them. But this was still really good.
Yeah, pretty good match. We had a rough bump, so another referee came down. And at one point, the first referee, Scott Armstrong, checked back into the match. And then Brian hit the flying knee for the victory. Simple as that.
But, well, there was a little bit of a shenanigan, seeing as, well, Scott Armstrong made a fast count.
He did, and I didn't even realize it at first.
I saw it, but I didn't think anything of it, because it was like, oh, it was a fast count, and they went for the finish.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize until the next day when, like, they started talking about it on WTR, and then, you know, Facebook blew up and Twitter blew up about the fast count, that it's like, oh, crap, this is part of the story. And we all know where this is going. And sure enough, it happened. But, yeah, for that moment at least, where Daniel Bryan gets the win, he gets it clean-ish over Randy Orton for the WWE title, he gets his moment in the sun.
Pretty much, yeah.
And you had Daniel Bryan celebrate with the fans. It was a tremendous moment.
You had everyone waiting for a swerve. Where's the swerve? Where's it coming? Is someone coming out? No, they left at least for one night. He kept the title.
Yes, he kept the title. So now he has yet another thing in common with Kane. He has a 24-hour title reign.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, yeah, so... This led to some very interesting consequences on Raw, which we talked about Monday night on the Raw post show, 11:30 p.m. right here on Wild Talk Radio Network, right after Monday Night Raw. But as far as the pay-per-view goes, how would you grade it?
I'd give it a B minus, A plus. It was nothing special, nothing memorable really happened, except for Bryan winning. So it was a B minus, C plus. What about you?
I'd probably give it about the same. I mean, a lot of it was really expected, and that's not a bad thing. I mean, this was basically Night of Champions is kind of viewed as a throwaway pay-per-view, especially after what happened with SummerSlam, because SummerSlam was a really strong show.
Mm-hmm.
So Night of Champions is kind of the throwaway, and they didn't have a lot of time to really build to Night of Champions, so there weren't any strong feuds aside from Bryan and Orton going into it, and Punk and Heyman, obviously. So those were your two money matches. And so it was just kind of like, it was a show. It was a good show. It was fine to watch, but still, it's just like, it was a show.
It wasn't that can't-miss show, SummerSlam Night, SummerSlam Money Bank, and a couple others worth so far.
Right. So I'm interested to see what they do for Battleground, and I'm interested to see what they do for Hell in a Cell. And also for Survivor Series. Those are the next ones coming up. So I'm curious about those, but this was, for the time being, it was a show, and it was a fine show.
Yeah, it was a fine show.
So speaking of shows, we're about at the end of ours, but before we end, I think we have our question of the night, don't we?
Our question of the night goes as follows. If you could hear Bray Wyatt tell a children's story, what children's story would it be, and why? Kind of. So... We got some responses. Frog and Todd are friends.
Never heard of that one.
Good Night Moon. Where the Wild Things Are.
Ooh, that'd be a good one.
Trying to find the one Matt Goldberg sent in. So
I thought he said Goodnight Moon.
Yeah, he also said Goodnight Moon. So we had two for Goodnight Moon. So yeah, what about you?
You're not going to say Julie's?
Oh yeah, I forgot about Julie's. What was Julie's?
Go the F to sleep.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot. Because that's on your Facebook. I forgot to look at your Facebook. My bad.
That's my Facebook. Yeah. I don't know. I had a really hard time thinking of a bedtime story. Just because it was like I would want one that would send him on a complete and total tangent.
So you got Little Red Riding Hood.
That's pretty much what I came up with, was Little Red Riding Hood, and I decided that I don't know if I would want him to read to me or sing "Hey There, Little Red Riding Hood."
like it's been flashing across the screen. I have Cat in a Hat, which would be interesting. You know, Green Eggs and Ham would be interesting. Goldilocks and the Three Bears would be interesting. You know, there's a lot of different stories he could tell. It'd just be funny. It'd just be amusing to see him read a bedtime story.
It would be interesting to see him tell a bedtime story. Because, mm-hmm. Well, you know, as we've talked about in our own private conversations, and we've talked about on this show, he has that kind of voice and that allure that it's like he just draws you in and he keeps you there until he's done with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so you could sit there and literally, it's like, I've watched the promo from Monday night, I think like 6 or 7 times since it aired.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just kind of one of those things that it does. It just completely draws you in. And so it's like, he's got that real hypnotic voice. And so it's like, you could just listen to him talk for hours.
Kinkin's Ghost, Snow White, starring Sister Abigail.
I don't know. That could get a little freaky, especially if he turns out to be the prince. Because we don't quite know who Sister Abigail is to him.
Beauty and the Beast, then?
I could see Beauty and the Beast. Lord knows he's got enough hair on his head.
This is true.
Like, there's that interview he did with somebody talking about the Miami Fair, where it's like they start the interview, and he's sitting there. And he's, like, half in character, half out of character, but he's sitting there. And all you see is, like, this fluffy brown hair that is dry from him wrestling, and then just beard. And these two puppy dog eyes as he's looking at the camera. It's like, oh, you're so cute in that creepy sort of way.
And that's sort of where we got the idea to do this from, I think.
Yes, and you never know, Roman could totally adopt him.
It's rubbing my forehead at the moment.
My work here is done. So that was question of the night, and this is the rack. I think we're done for the evening, unless you've got a rant.
No, I'm good.
Oh, come on! The Taker and Roman show... No, actually, it's Taker and Punk. It's Taker and Punk show, and then there is a separate Roman and Cody show, and then there's the Shield show. And it's my show, so they're not banned. Deal with it.
She's the boss.
I'm totally the boss. It's my show. So, yeah, they're not banned because they're amazing. And actually, it should be out soon. I should check my Tumblr. But anyway, let's go ahead and wrap things up for the evening. So, I think you have stuff to shill, don't you?
Check out the website tomorrow, recradioshow.com and wildtalkradio.com for Total Divas Extra, the final episode, number 8 for the season. We'll review it, check it all out. And, yeah, it's up on the website tomorrow. If you've had any issues with the website in the last 24 hours, let me know. Everything should be working, hopefully. Almost. I hope. I know iTunes is starting to work again. And, yeah, we're getting things back up and running after a little bit of maintenance over a couple days. So yeah, check it out. The Rock Extra Total Divas Edition, episode number 8. We are also reviewing the post-show at some point, and we're taking suggestions for other editions of the Rack Extra as well. So if you got them, let us know. Contact at rackradioshow.com or tweet them at wildtalkradio or facebook.com as wildtalkradio.org or Lindsay's Twitter at Lindsay Ward. Saturday night, midnight-ish at CB Radio with myself and a Parks Ace and somebody. The road to 300 continues. Did Subway make it to pro wrestling? We'll find out. If he did, he'll have some stories. It's all weird. It's extra. It's weird, it's wacky, it's unusual, it's CB Radio. Sunday at WTR, Sunday at Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern, we'll get a review of Canadian All Pro Wrestling. We will get all the latest news and rumors that you can handle. It's Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Omega, and most likely Lindsay this week, with Mace having other engagements.
Yes, I've been working nights. I'll be working nights this weekend, so let's see how this goes.
So to make for an entertaining show. Monday nights, we're all post-show live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of Rap Live, 11 p.m. Eastern. Hope you enjoyed Santino Morella's our interview with him. Check out BattleArtsAcademy.com. As I said, Twitter, Wild Talk Radio, Facebook, Facebook.com, since Wild Talk Radio Network, WTRProductions.net, CanadianAllPro.com. Again, check out the British Rules Fight. 10 3-minute rounds, most pinfalls wins. Check it out, Johnny Devine, Kamikaze, for the, I don't think it's for title, but the war to settle it all, it's Uber Saturday night. Check it out, CanadianAllPro.com.
Alright, well, as you said, you can follow me on Twitter, at LinsWard, LinsWard, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. Check that out. First, go to CastyRiley.net for all your Casty Riley needs, and visit RackRadioShow.com for all your Rack needs. I'd like to thank our fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.com, and of course, MemorabiliaLane, MemLanePromo.com. Thank you to them for their continued support. A huge thank you to Santino once again. We appreciate you coming on the show and letting us talk to you. Everybody go check out BattleArtsAcademy.com. Stay up to date on all the latest things that they're doing. Also follow him at Milan Miracle. He frequently tweets updates about his wonderful facility and everything that's going on with it as they get it up and running, and also stay tuned for the reality show. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you next week. Bye!
Wildtalkradio.com.